morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. We're so glad that everybody is here today. All right. Announcements. If you have a prayer request, you can text or email it to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com and we will pray for it later in the service. There's going to be a congregational meeting next Sunday to elect elders. The session is nominating Elder Marie Crawford and Alex, is it Slagle?
Slagle. Would you please mention how Toby's done a wonderful job for 3 years and has been amazing and fantastic. No, I would like you to mention it if you would, Toby. She goes, hey, I'll read the slides, but I can't congratulate myself. We want to thank Toby.
It's been my pleasure.
For a dedicated 3 years serving on the session. And we appreciate your service so much, enough that we're prepared to say, you can't leave, but you're going to leave anyway. But please, do give another round of applause for Toby and her service. Just in case you don't know the name, Alex. Yes, you do. Alex is the young man who's been in the back of this church every single Sunday, except for the Sunday when we announced he's going to be an elder. He took his nephew. His nephew had never been to a football game before, so they're going to the Titans today. And I was like, man, that's a good excuse. But Alex has been committed to this church through his performance every week in putting the slides together, the video that y'all saw yesterday that went online about the Sunday school class. He put that together, has been instrumental in how we can use the internet to be able to build a new front door to the church in a way. People look at the internet page, they go anywhere else, or Facebook page, they go anywhere else. And so he's been instrumental in that. And so Alex is one that we are nominating. And the other that we'll nominate, Marie, she's done did a fantastic job for 3 years previously. So we're like, come on back. And she offers some really unique talents that we're asking to rejoin us. And she's agreed as well. So those will be the two we're nominating next Sunday. We'll have our congregational meeting at the church.
Please join us for Sunday school. They're going to be starting a new lessons. Struggling to find the word. It's 7 things I wish Christians knew about the Bible. It'll be at 9 a.m. on Sundays. Which room is that meeting in?
This one will meet in the one that's across from the thank you. That's the word. Kitchen. And the other Sunday school class right now, y'all are working through a Max Lucado study of Revelation, I believe.
No.
Y'all done with it?
We're done with Revelation. It's Ezra and Nehemiah.
Well, now that you understand Revelation, would you mind doing a sermon on it? Ezra and Nehemiah in that class, and so please join them as well. I want to mention just real quick, and be done. This class is based on a book called 7 Things I Wish Christians Knew About the Bible. We're going to take that, but we were talking in the Sunday school class today about 2 or 3 things that we would like to discuss. Things like, do I have to take it literally to take it seriously? Questions like that. And so we'll be looking at those, and I hope that you can join us for that class, or please, the other class has been such a wonderful contribution to the church as well. So either of them, Sunday morning, come join us.
Jenkins Kids Ministry. There will be a meeting after church next Sunday, January 14th. We are always in need of people to help with the ministry. And if you are interested, you can contact our own Julie Beaumar for more information.
That will be after the congregational
meeting. We will be short, I promise.
Okay. There'll be a congregational meeting and then there'll be a kids ministry meeting. Stay for it all. Lunch Bunch is this Tuesday, January 9th, here at Martin's Barbecue Joint. I'm told it's at 11:30. If you would, pardon? 11. Okay, I've been corrected. It's at 11 o'clock. And if you could RSVP to Steve or Joyce Alamore by Monday. Paul Campbell is turning 100 years young, and you're invited to his birthday party, which will be Saturday, January 13th. You want to drop in and wish him a happy birthday from 11 to 2. And is that here at the church?
It is, yep.
Here at the church.
And yeah, that's right, it's this Saturday. Yeah.
So it is this Saturday. Church family folders. They are located right out in the hallway next to the church office. People drop cards and other goodies in there for you. And if you do not have a church list, there's one on top of the church folder desk. It has everyone's addresses and phone numbers. Good source to have at home. Any other announcements?
Yes.
Yes.
Ronnie Hughes, who is one of the founding members of this church, passed away, and he will be having next Saturday at 1 o'clock a memorial service for him at Williamson County.
Okay. So those of you that knew Ronnie Hughes, he has passed away, and his memorial service is next Saturday. You said 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock, Williamson.
At Williamson. Okay. All right. If you would rise for our call to worship. It comes from Psalm 29.
I think I made this a little longer, so be careful. Mm-hmm. I think I did.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that your voice speaks today. We thank you, God, that sometimes that voice does make us skip like a calf. Sometimes that voice does feel inside of us like the trees whirling from your strength. Sometimes that voice, Lord, is like a whisper. And sometimes it almost feels silent. And yet we know you speak. That's our hope. That's our faith. We believe in you, Lord. We believe that you speak words today that mean something to us, that we can live our lives in that peace that we call for. And so we ask then to hear your voice today in whatever way that you allow it to happen, whether it be one that rushes through here like the sound of a violent wind, or if it is just that whisper in our ear that reminds us of something so true about you, we just ask, Lord, for you to speak. But know that your speaking, Lord, comes in the midst of ours. We worship you today. We lift up your name today. We call on you today. We preach your word today. We hear your word through the scriptures today. We hear all of this because we believe, Lord, that you are worthy of worship. And so we gather to do that, and we just hope in some way that you speak to us in return. We ask for this, Lord, because we are desperate to hear your voice. And all God's people said, amen.
Good morning, church. Today marks Three Kings Day, the beginning of Epiphany. And as we've all come through the seasons of Advent and Christmas, we now arrived where we need to be reflecting on what we've seen, this new baby that appeared in Bethlehem, and understand suddenly this epiphany, this discovery of who he is and what he means to us. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. And so we're all going to join in worship, singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, hymn number 1. Please join us.
scripture of assurance comes from Genesis chapters 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
I have been suggested that we can already smell the breakfast for lunch. And that I should be short in my sermon. I'll be short in my sermon, but I'm going to speak just a moment here if you don't mind. When I was a kid, I always remember laying in bed sometimes or be somewhere, and I'd be like, where'd this all begin? Like, if God did this, where was God before this? Like, just these questions that we have, right? Just these weird questions that pop in your mind. But they always were just uncomfortable. I still have a hard time looking at the stars by myself, just looking up. I get a little small, and the world gets a little big, you know? So I was always wondering, what happened? And then, you know, you hear the biblical story about the creation, and it just sometimes it even adds to the questions a little bit rather than answering them, right? And so there's just a little bit of unsettledness. And then I heard somebody say, it was just a myth. And I thought they were denigrating my Lord. He did do that. Yes, he did. But then they explained what they meant. And I say this because this is one of the things that we'll be talking about starting next week in this Sunday school class. What's it mean for it to be a myth? Can something be not necessarily factually true and yet very true? That's what this person said to me. And it made me pause to think because, y'all, who was there when God did this? That God, they could tell it and say, hey, here's what happened, right? Moses wasn't there. Not, like Adam and Eve weren't there yet. How did we know what happened? And I started asking all these questions. And I came to realize this. And it's the same thing that's always hit me. The details of the story to me don't always matter. But the truth does. And I believe beyond a shadow of our doubt that our God is instrumental in making our world. I don't know how it happened. Did it happen in 7 days? Doubt it. Did it happen in 7 days? Might have. Don't care. What I know is true is that God is at work in this world. God is creating in this world. God is making in this world. God is redeeming in this world. Amen? You know how I know that? Because God created here one day. But it didn't take one day for God to do that either. God is always at work. And so when I heard this word myth, I thought it meant myth like something that wasn't true. And that's not what myth means. Myth means something that's so true that sometimes even the stories have to be so big to even come close to describing how brilliant the thought is. So I don't care what we believe about one day versus anything. That's not our concern. Our concern is God loves us. Amen. God creates in this world. Amen. God is making in this world, and God is continuing to do it every single day. And that's the assurance that we can have when we have those big, weird questions that we do. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing again.
This next song is another song about the wise men. We don't know if it was actually three of them. I think Jason will probably talk on this some too later. But we know we understand they were there and they brought gifts and they were amazed by what they saw. And so we're going to sing this song. Some of you may or may not know this one. You know the tune for sure. We've sung it before. But the words, pay attention to the words as we go through this, as with gladness, men of old. And that's the same thing we should be feeling in our hearts. We should be in awe of. We should be worshiping because of that. So we're going to sing, As With Gladness, Men of Old, 163. Please sing with us.
As with gladness, men of old,
young ones. I'm going to go with Suzanne and Amy. Is that right? And y'all have y'all a wonderful time in school. Shayla, you want to drop me just a little bit here? I got this mic on. You want to drop my mic?
Thank you. And this one can go up as high as you want. On the days that we hold the Sacrament of Communion, we always have the prayers of the people at this time. Do we have any come in on over the internet by chance?
No.
Okay. Are there those that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, sir. Prayers for Jessica, you said? Prayers for Jessica and cancer. Yes, ma'am. I think I saw. Yes, ma'am. Pete and Betty, wonderful friends of the church and of the whole community. Bud, it's good to see you here, my brother. We continue praying for you and Dixie. Quite often, Bud. It's good to see you here, my friend. Good to see you. Continue prayers for Bud and Dixie. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Mom is doing fantastic. Pretty sure we all agree that she looks better than she has in the last couple of years. So, supposed to tentative date to the home is the 16th.
The 16th. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm not going to tell your mother you said she didn't look good the last 2 years. I'm not going to tell her that.
She looks healthy.
I know. That's wonderful.
Really,
that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you very much for prayers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And prayers is you've been running back and forth a whole bunch as well. So, and your dad and everybody. So, prayers for all y'all. Yep. Yes, ma'am. Please say that again. I'm sorry.
Rhonda.
I'm not going to try on the last name, but we'll go with Rhonda. So.
Yeah.
Prayers for Rhonda and her mother, then. Absolutely. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, sir.
This Friday at Centennial Heart, I was supposed to have a two-wire pacemaker replaced with a three-wire pacemaker and run one to the heart to speed up my blood.
Gotcha.
I'm hoping that I can sit down and let me go home.
Harold, you let us know if there's anything we can do to get you there, get you back, or get you food, or whatever. Just let me know. We'll talk this week. But you're supposed to be Friday, you say? You said Friday?
Friday,
yeah. Every clear prayers. Okay. Getting you back will be... Just kidding, brother. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. We'll figure a way. Just kidding. We'll figure a way, man. If you need anything, you let us know. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Saw Leonard this past week and doing better. He's doing better, but still very weak. So please be in prayer for our brother Leonard and for Sandra too. Sandra is not feeling well. And then who was the other? Dave is not feeling well. You said he's not feeling well either. So prayers for both of them. Are there any others? Anybody else we need to be in prayer for? Yes, sir.
A friend of ours, Keith Tullis.
Okay. And last name was?
Tullis.
Gotcha. We'll get close. God deciphers my handwriting very well. So, any others? Let's go to God. Gracious and loving God, you know why we do this. We bring these prayers to you in a time of offering once a month because we know they are an offering. We offer over our concern. We offer over our support, our love. We offer our service to those who are not well, but we also offer a gentle mindset, a gentle way of thinking about the world when we pray for others. And we ask, Lord, that these prayers be heard by you, but also that you speak back to us, not only how we can serve these, but who else we need to be in prayer for. How else in this world do we need to find our soft heart of concern for others? And so we ask, Lord, that you'd even teach us through this moment of offering, of how to best be with a world that sometimes feels like it's all alone. And Lord, we also have those prayer requests that are so deep in our hearts that we just can't say them out loud. And so we ask that you hear those as well as we whisper them into existence. Know, Lord, that we don't not say them because we're not turning them over. We don't say them because we have turned them over, and they're just such a challenge for us. So we ask, Lord, that you hear those especially, and you find a way to speak into our hearts the goodness of this world, the goodness of you, the redemption that you offer, and in any way that you find it right and good to act in this world, we will praise you when you do, Lord, because we know that you will. So, Lord, we say all of this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this one's familiar. I preached it a few times. Everybody's heard this one. And y'all stealing my thunder about the three, by the way. I know there wasn't three. We're going to talk about that. Stole my thunder. Can you imagine? The only thing I had to say was there wasn't three kings, and now we get to go eat breakfast. Matthew 12, 1 through 12. It's a powerful story. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Let's read it. In the time of King Herod, this is King Herod Antipas, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they knelt down to pay him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. You got my first slide, boss? Oh. There it is. Anybody know what that is? Anybody familiar with this? Nashville, yeah. Anybody heard it? It's a navigation chart for the Nashville airport and everything around it, too. You can see Smyrna and John Toon and everything else on there. This is a map of how you keep from running your plane into somebody else's plane or into a mountain or into a, I don't know, Batman building if you're flying around the downtown or the Nashville area. Here it is printed on a shirt and a coffee mug if you really, really want that. I have no idea why anybody would. They don't print it upside down. It's not like you can read it while you're flying, so I don't know. There you go. You might need it then. Exactly right, young man. I don't know much about anything when it comes to maps. You can go back to the title screen if you want to. Nobody wants to look at that shirt, I promise you. The only thing much about that map, I know it has radio frequencies on it. It has elevations, and I know it has how long the runways are and how wide the runways are and what direction they're facing and some of that kind of stuff. But what I know more than that is that this particular map is so busy with stuff that I don't know how anybody ever could decipher it when they need the information that's on it, you know? But I guess I'm not flying the plane, am I? So I don't need to know. Which is good, because Wes is flying back Tuesday, by the way, be in prayer for Suzanne and I this week. He's flying back Tuesday, and I couldn't learn how to fly a plane that fast anyway. So,
And the professionals don't have to. They're already trained themselves on the map because these maps are fantastic. They'll keep you on course. You know, they'll send you where you need to go. If you know how to read them, if you're willing to follow them, a good map will show us exactly the route we need to take. We also know maps aren't easy to read sometimes. Definitely the one a minute ago, right? And even if they look simple, they're not always simple to follow. Even when we think we know, we can be on a path and then veer off of it, sure as the world, and then we get tempted to blame the map because it was wrong that one time 10 years ago. We don't talk about the times it's been right 100 million times since then, but that one time 10 years ago was wrong, so maybe the map's wrong this time. And I have seen a wrong map, by the way. I had a GPS back one time, and it was one of those dash-mounted monstrosity GPSs, you know what I mean? And I had the GPS try to send me and my 40-foot H2 Hummer limousine to the right on another road. And this was way out in the country, like way out. And so the problem was there wasn't a road on the right, or the left for that matter. And so I'm going down the road and it says, turn right in a half a mile, turn right in 500 feet. I'm like, this is a really well-hidden road. Turn right now. And the only thing to the right was like one tree and 5,000 of its closest friends. And that was it. But I didn't turn right. There was a proposed road. It was completed on the other end, just not on this end. I guess we got to be careful of the maps we follow. You know? This one hadn't been tested quite yet, hadn't been tried quite yet. But most of the time, I guess, if we got a good map, if it's a wise map, if it's one that we can, you know, a well-researched map, it's not going to be wrong. If anything wrong, it's going to be me. You know, it's... So I backtrack a little bit. I go around a little bit of a way and catch back up. I learn where I turned wrong and trust that I didn't get too far off the beaten path, that the map can still redirect me back down to where I need to be. The map maker knows we're liable to be anywhere and always gives us a route back. Amen. I didn't hear it, but I believe it. I thought about this in maps too one time. Now, I know I'm odd. I get it. Sometimes I think things, and I think they're interesting, and nobody else does, so if stick with me if you don't find this one interesting. But what I realized is that maps aren't neutral. They're more like Switzerland. You can call them neutral, but they got stuff from people they shouldn't have it from, which means you're not neutral, you know. Great mountains, great chocolate, great people. But I always thought maps were like, well, I didn't think they had an opinion. But that's not really true. The map maker is revealed in the map, or in maybe the map reader. The reason I say that is that only things on the map are things that are chosen to put there, right? Google Maps doesn't show you where every business is and every landmark and every anything. That doesn't show you where the homeless camps are, right? In fact, whoever paid Google is the one that Google puts first on the map. So Google doesn't have a button, for instance, to show you where all the nonprofits are that are wonderful things in this world, so you can go tour them and give them money. They'll show you where all the gas stations are, though.
Right.
It's not wrong. I'm just saying maps have priorities like anything else. Didn't Nolensville used to have one of those old-time maps that had, like, the old businesses and landmarks on it? Don't I remember seeing one of these one time? You know what I'm talking about? These maps that had, like, the Methodist Church on it, and it have, you know, might have Ebenezer, I don't know. It's got the mill on it and all these land. I think the one I saw for Nolensville had the Piggly Wiggly on it, if I remember correctly. That's the landmark, man. If you know you're from Nolensville if you went to that Piggly Wiggly. That's what... They did the same thing with Monopoly boards, I think. Did you ever wonder how they chose what to put on those maps? Maybe it was advertisements. But some places were places that shouldn't be listed, and some places didn't make the cut on the map. I guess what I'm getting at is that if we're on a journey, we need to choose our maps well. You wouldn't navigate using a BNA sectional chart or a town landmark map, either one. We sure wouldn't determine where town resources go based on these maps, would we? Sometimes I switch to Google, to Waze, depending on the circumstance, and then I found out that Google owns Waze, which completely blew that thing out of the water. But shut up about maps, Jason. No, I got a point. I'm thankful that the wise men had good maps. They needed it. Because they didn't need to go back the same way they came. Herod was ticked. And they didn't need some grand vision of God to figure this one out, y'all. They just had to think about it for a second. I'm not saying God didn't speak to them. I'm saying God shouldn't have had to. From the whole trip from the east, they probably were figuring out how to deal with this situation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. If you're not familiar with the politics of Matthew's story here, let me say it like this. This is a movie-worthy political intrigue that happens at this point in this scripture. Let's start with this. Everything in Matthew is about kingdoms. Like, everything is about kingdoms. Which king are you going to serve? That's the whole book. And so the story goes, the wise men, and there weren't three necessarily. That's what I wrote right there. Just kidding. We say three because of three gifts, but I guess my point in that is sometimes we make notes on our maps, and we need to remember those are just notes. Those aren't the maps. Anyway, the wise men went to the king of the Jews, a guy named Herod Antipas, and asked a very interesting question. He asked the king of the Jews, where's the king of the Jews? That's what he asked. Herod's title was king of the Jews. And they asked him, where's the king of the Jews? Remember, wise men weren't just wise men walking around. That's not what they were. They were emissaries from a court of another king, which means they came with the authority of another king. When they spoke, it was as if that other king was speaking himself. And so these wise men were priests, emissaries from the court, no different than King David might have had, or who had Herod had. He called them in, right? These were prophets. They were from somewhere over in the Babylon direction, somewhere from the east. Maybe they learned some of this, you know, Jesus and God stuff during the exile. Who knows? But they weren't Jewish. And their God wasn't Yahweh. Not necessarily, anyway, because these priests look at something else to determine God's will. They looked at the stars. The Jews never looked at the stars for God's will. That wasn't who they are. You'll notice nobody else saw the star in that same spot in the sky for almost 2 years like these men did. Just these guys, their religion was called Zoroastrianism. It's kind of like where we get our horoscopes today, zodiac stuff, right? Kind of like that. That's what they believed. But however it worked, however it happened, and it's odd, I admit, they were the ones that saw that the king of the Jews had been born. And so they sent representatives to King Herod, to Herod first, but then to a toddler, where they shared the gifts of the country, which is exactly what you do when you show up to a king, right? And yes, even if they weren't the manger, please keep them in your nativity. Just remember that's a note on the map. When they left, they knew that there was no way that Herod was going to handle this well. And so instead of telling him where the child and his family were, they went home by another way. They couldn't go home the same way they came. That was a deathly way. Now that they had seen the king, they had to relook at things, man. They had to change course. I'm glad they had a good map. This new map they had brought them life and not Herod's death, which for others would come soon enough, regrettably. Now here's my trick this morning. We know Matthew just didn't mean they took another road home. Matthew doesn't care about highway numbers, y'all. That ain't the point. There's a metaphor here that's more than about directions. I think it might be better said that Matthew showed how the wise men had found a new map when they visited this new king. And so the roads led to different places than they used to for them. You can't go home the same way you came when you encountered Jesus Christ, church. You just can't, man. You can't go home the same way you came. The Spirit won't allow it. Once you've seen certain things in this world, you have to go home by another route. You can't be who you were before. And Matthew was making a point to... Now, he was using the surface level, political level of the intrigue of the story, which is fantastic, yes. But once the wise men saw the new king, they worshipped, you all. They fell to his feet and they worshipped, you know. Can you return home the same way after you really worship? Can you ever be the same thing that you were before when you really turn your worship over to God? Do you pray maybe today that God remaps the world for you a little bit when you come into the presence of the Lord? Isn't that why you're here this morning? Do you want to go home the same way you came? Most of y'all do. You're awesome. But maybe there's one way that could be different.
Isn't that why we're here? If that's the point, then, church, we got a pretty good map book. Amen? We can find our way, but we got to read. We have a solid map, even if that map sometimes looks a little bit like those charts up there a minute ago. What maps are we using to navigate our lives? Remember how everybody used to have one of those Rand McNally maps? It was always in the passenger seat back pocket, right? Isn't that where everybody's going? Yeah, that's where I keep mine too. Except for the foldable maps. Y'all put those in the glove box too. Yeah, I see. We all did the same thing. I get it. I used to work as a road warrior. I worked what's that? Road Atlas. You had to have one. Couldn't get anywhere. And if there was a traffic jam, how quick did you get that thing out? Turn to the right page. That's right. Go 15 minutes out of the way to gain 5 minutes. I used to work as a road warrior. I worked out of my home for a company called Catalina Marketing. And so I was in my car all the time. This is the company that prints the coupons at the check stand, depending on what you buy. You know that printer? I worked for them for like 14 years. And it's just another computer in the system in the store is all it is, and it reads the barcodes that come across. And so Coke will say every time a Pepsi six-pack is bought, we want a Coke, you know, product coupon printed instead. That's the kind of thing that happened. And so I maintain those printers from, oh my gosh, Nashville to Clarksville to Dixon to Murfreesboro, Red Boiling Springs at an IGA. There's grocery stores everywhere, man. And that was back when they were just road maps, atlases as well, and no GPS yet. So I'd look up where I was going, right, and I'd take off and go, or I'd try to find the right way or the fastest way or whatever, or I'd just go the way I always knew, because you do that job for that long, you just kind of find an old way. And I left that job 15 years ago now, which is just bizarre. And after that's when GPS came out. And so I started driving around again. I'd use the GPS to get one from one place to another. And I suddenly realized how many miles and hours I had wasted going the long way around. Time. And y'all did the same thing. Time and time again. Especially up in Clarksville. Man, I get so lost in Clarksville. Murfreesboro, too. I go halfway around the city to find my way around. Sometimes I didn't even take the long route. I just took the wrong route. You know what I mean? But then I got the GPS, and I found, and I wonder, how many hours since then have I saved from flailing around, driving wherever I want to go, however I want to go, and now follow the little stupid arrow, and it takes me right where I needed to be. Life's journey is no different. It's no different at all, man. Sometimes detours happen that aren't on the map, but a good map helps us understand where we're going and gets us back on the path again. Sometimes side trips are good because the interstate is boring and it's not any fun, and life needs to be fun sometimes. You know what I mean? Or sometimes there are those off the beaten path places and people that we need to know. So we need a good map that helps us find which roads give us the good views and the good people and the good service and the good experience, and which one leads to the place where I might just lose my way. I guess the only thing a regular map doesn't show is how to drive those roads together to share them. We need something more than a regular map for that. We need faith in the Messiah, which, church, is a very, very odd map to read. The church, or church, the world sells a lot of maps. Still, to this day, they do. All those maps have their priorities. Sometimes the maps will combine things, you know. You'll have a map for this and a map for this, and they'll put it together. And when that happens in life, they'll have a faith map, and then they'll put other stuff on that map as well that has nothing to do with faith at all. And it starts getting confusing then. And what goes with what? What combines with what? What can I believe here and believe here, and they be not the same? You have to decipher in these maps what's important and what's getting in the way. Jesus had something funny to say about this. When, you know, he said his way is a narrow way. That's what he said. It's not a big highway. Not a lot of people on it sometimes. His major road was a road less traveled, and not one that gets us to our destinations always effectively, unless we're going to where Christ wants us. This faith isn't I-40, y'all. It's more like, a little bit more like a goat trail, or a sheep trail, rather. Is that the road I took on the map of life? When I get to that intersection in life's days, do I recognize that as the place I need to turn, or do I wonder if the map got messed up somewhere?
Life can't go down that little road, can it? Doesn't it go this way where everybody else is? Doesn't it need a big highway with lots of rest stops and lots of restaurants? Isn't that what it needs? See, church, there's a map for everything in this world. For everything. Everything tells us how life should be navigated. For anywhere there is to go, any way to live, any possibility of life, there is a map that will tempt us that direction. We can find a map that shows us paths to hostility and judgment or greed or evil or any of those other things that Jesus worried about and told us about and warned us about, and it'll make it look like it's so good we should turn off and go that way. There might be a road sign to tell us to get off of the next exit for some real good greed. Come on in for some envy that will help you. Some dishonesty and hate that will soothe your soul. We've kept it warm for you. It's got high fructose corn syrup in it too to make it yummy. It'll make you feel like you're full. So get off the next exit for a better path than the one you're on. That's what the world will do with its maps. But if we know where the path lies, because that map of the way has been tattooed on our hearts, or is in the process, maybe. Maybe I'm not done quite yet with that. But we know the way. We've heard the way. We've been taught the way. We've memorized the way. We've studied its hills and its valleys. We've driven on it so much sometimes that it feels like our lives can drive it without us even looking. If we've trained ourselves as map readers, even as map drawers, God's own cartographers, if we know the Jesus stories because they're our stories, if we know His road because it's our road, if we know the life of Christ called us to live no matter where that road leaves, then the joy is that we'll find our way to where God calls us to be. Jesus points the way for us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I read that somewhere. He is, in fact, the great map. Just reading, man. Just follow Him and trust Him and have faith that His way is as good as He says it is. Isn't that what we all want in life? Isn't that what we want, man? To go where God wants us to go? Isn't that really all we want? To be where God wants us to be? What else could we possibly want other than 10 million other things? Other than that? We want heaven, right? I do. I hope to meet you there. I'm going to be there. I think you are too. I want to be there. We think that's where we're going, and thank God we are. We want to go that way. We think God wants us to be there, and that's all we want in this world, is to find our way to where God is. But that means we have to want it today too, not just tomorrow. And so we ask, what's my map tell me about where I need to go to find my way to Christ? It's time to study our maps, y'all. I better read my word. I'm going to say it time and time again. I better read my word. You said you got done. I got to tell you a story. You said you got done reading the Bible again and found something you had never seen before.
Because AI, which has a different meaning now, but AI is in Genesis 12. So.
No different thing under the sun. No new thing under the sun. It had AI in Genesis. So it's a town. Don't worry about it. Fact is, though, you read something new and you catch something new every single time. We got to be reading our word, you all. This is the map. Our prayer is our map. Our service is our map. Our love is our map. Our respect is our map. Our trust is our map. Our care is our map. I better know where to find grace and mercy in this world, y'all. I better know where to find grace and mercy because the world needs me to go there. And maybe I can draw a map to help people get there too. We just got to follow the signposts. They're easy to see. They're shaped like a cross. Totally easy to find them. I do pray that we take seriously our commitment to the faith by making sure we know what maps we're reading and how to read them. It's our responsibility in the faith, and it's a wonderful, wonderful responsibility to have, man. We get to study the Word of God. Stop. We get to study the Scripture. Like, really? That's what we get to do? We get to study this and read it and know it. We get to look at our Scriptures, and we need to know that just because our maps sometimes, though, show attractive roads, that doesn't mean they're the Rand McNally of the faith. The
The world's roads look wonderful, and the way of Christ can look grown up and curvy, but that means they're adventurous, and so it's okay. It means that we can be safe, even if it's not always for the faint of heart. Thank God we are given the Spirit to drive us along our way. That's a good road to travel, for it always, church, pays off in the end. The view, I hear, is outstanding. If we have the map right now and we know how to read it, we can journey our way through the desert with all of our brothers and sisters with us, and we'll find our way to the promised land, but only if we hold dear to the right maps, the right directions, the right way of Jesus Christ. So go a different home, a road home, church. Go a different road home. This is the new year. If we read the map, we know we can never go home the same way we came. Not if we know Christ, not if we've been there. So, Happy New Year, my friends. Go read your maps. And all of God's people said. I don't always say this, but I feel some reason to say it this morning. We have the song prior to communion as a time of preparation, obviously. If there's some way you need to prepare yourself at the altar, feel free to come forward anytime. There'll be somebody to pray with you, I promise.
Jason, appreciate that word. And Jason's right. When we encounter the Christ child, when we encounter the incarnation, we don't take the same roads. We don't see things the same way. We have a new vision that's given to us. So we're going to sing about that. Please stand, if you will. Be Thou My Vision. 382 in hymn.
It's always bad when your goes out of place. Somebody help me. Somebody grew up Baptist, so they got this memorized. I know you did. That was always the embarrassing part about seminary, is that all the incoming Presbyterians, we didn't have anything memorized, but we could turn to a Baptist, they had the whole Bible memorized, so I never did figure that out. What is the phrase, my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Didn't I read that somewhere in the Bible? This idea that Christ's burden and this yoke that he presents us is so easy. We are tied together into teams, in an essence, in which we pull for the Lord in a way. Kind of what it means, right? We do the work of the Lord. But it's this tied together in this non-burdensome way that is unlike what the world offers. This meal represents that. It's the idea that we are bounded together. This meal ties us together, you and me, Chip. Just this meal alone does. That might be why it's called communion. I'm thinking out loud. We commune together in this moment. And so I love that we always gather in such... We have a great crowd today because we do this in communion. We gather because we know there's something about this that bonds us. For that reason, we use that as the invitation this morning. And I want to make sure that everyone realizes that this is not a Jenkins table. This is not a Cumberland Presbyterian table. This is the table of Jesus Christ. And if you are here today, you are welcome to this table every time. And so please be a part of that. I ask that you hear these words from Paul. He read, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, of all times then, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me.'" I would ask the elders that are going to serve today, if you would come on up. We do communion here on two stations, and you're welcome to come to either station, get your elements, and then return to your seat with them. Don't take them up here. Take them back with you. If for some reason you would prefer not to come up, doesn't matter why, if you prefer not to, there will also be a team that walks around that will be serving people here and then also in the kitchen if there's anybody back there. So that's how we'll do that. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that there's something in this meal that binds us together because we're bound through you. You told us to do this in remembrance of you, but to do it together in a meal, joined with one another. And so that's what we're doing today. You asked us 2,000 years to do this, Lord. Here we are, following your path. And so we ask then that you fulfill the promise that you've already fulfilled. And so we thank you for already fulfilling that promise. This notion that we are blessed with grace and we know it. We thank you, God, that in this meal we express it. We thank you, God, that grace is at the core of what this is. On the day you were betrayed, you took the bread and broke it. And so that's why we're here. Sometimes we're on the wrong path. You offer us grace back on. Sometimes we've thrown our map out the window, that map's so wrong I can't deal with it, and yet somehow it just blows back in the back window and lands back in our car where we can read it again. We know, Lord, that you have given us such amazing grace, and we know today through this meal what it's like because you've allowed us to know it. So we ask that you bless the bread and you bless the juice, make it into all that you can be, but remind us that you are already a graceful God. We've already received it. And today we get to express how amazing it is. And God's people said. First, this is the body of Christ that's broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the body of Christ. And likewise, blood was poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. This is the blood of Christ. Friends, you're welcome to come to the table. Would you go to the kitchen first? Yeah, if you go to the kitchen first, good. Just help me. Would you mind in the kitchen first? Thank you so much.
Has everyone served? Have y'all been served? Y'all been served? Bud, you've been served? You're good? Has anybody been served that everybody been served that chooses to? Let's all sing together this new tradition that we've started, and I love doing this. As you're able, Melanie, thank you. Had a epiphany. I just had one. That what yesterday was? Epiphany? Not yesterday? I just had one. It was a day late, like everything else in my life, but I got it. I got about halfway down, and usually as I present the juice, this is the blood of Christ, you know, this is what I say. Just say it. And I got to about there, somewhere, I said, this is the promise. I don't even know why. I didn't think it. I just said it. This is the promise of Christ, right? And I was like, hey, that's pretty smart. And then I realized I didn't think about it, so I shouldn't give myself credit. It just popped in my head. But then I realized this, is that if somebody comes to me and they promise big, I mean big promises, but I promise, I swear, you know what I do? Please, you ain't doing that. Right? Isn't that what it usually is? If it's a big promise, I know better. But if someone says to me that I'm there for you, I promise. I know I can call them. It's that little promise. It's that tiny one that someone gives us that makes us know they are absolutely truthful and right, and they've got us. And we have such a small promise in these little bitty things that we take, and yet they are the size of what? Everything? This is God we're talking about, that all it says is, do you believe it's true? Do you believe it? Do you know it true that you have been forgiven and you have been given life everlasting, and that life begins today? This is the body of Christ, a promise for you for the forgiveness of sins and life eternal. The body of Christ. And this too is the promise that God has given us, everything that God can give. And all he asks is we follow the map and find his way. This is the promise of Christ. And church, all of God's people said, amen. Now, for those who don't know, this is a very small portion of what we do on Communion Sunday. Because we always break bread together, not just in this meal. Yes, in this meal, this is a sacrament. But we break bread at the table together. So I invite everybody to come in a few minutes. And we're having bread, right? We're having French toast. Is that what I hear? That's a lot of bread. So please join us in this. And if you don't mind, I'll pray for Larry always gives me grief because I forgot to pray for the food for like the first 5 years I was here. So I don't learn fast, but I do learn. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for worship. Thank you for speaking into our hearts.
Thank you, Lord, for getting to break bread together and going here and doing it again. We thank you, God, that you've allowed us to be in community with one another, to commune with one another, to be loving toward one another, because that becomes the bright shining light of who you are for the world to see. Thank you, God, for this church that loves each other deeply. We ask that you bless our lives in the meal we just took, and bless the food for our lives in the next meal. Thank you, Lord, for all the hands that made it. And thank you, Lord, for us being able to consume it so that we can go out in the world and be strong for you. We thank you, God, for all of these things. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you please rise for the benediction? Church, go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, go in mercy, and go those ways, because they are all towns on this map. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's go eat. Let us eat. Let us eat. Thank you all. Thank you, 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 Sally. Thank you all. Or two Sundays. I think we asked Alex. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Alex will find his mom. I told him that. I was like, your mom will be here, I know. But, I mean, mom will go show up, I would assume. But, talk to him. I don't know her. I know nothing about. Oh, brother. Yeah, yeah. I thought I was thinking dad. I don't know dad at all, where he is. Well, whatever you want to do, it's fine by me. How's that? Thank you all. And here's the good news. You ain't done serving communion. You ain't done yet. So, hey, I do want to thank you. I want to thank you for everything you've done in your service. You have been specifically a support to me in what you've done, and I cannot thank you enough for that. So, you're amazing. You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Scotty is a phenomenal guitarist. Like, he shreds, right? And he played mandolin, all this kind of stuff. He's done sit-ins at the round at Station Inn, right, on Sundays. He brings his mandolin up. Mandolin, what it was? Mandolin over one Sunday.
Scotty.
One afternoon. Hangs out. And he's played or whatever. And goes, well, let me see it, right? Never touched the mandolin. Doesn't know how the thing's tuned. It's tuned different. No, it's tuned.